because we know Jesus is the head and we're just part of it. So I want to start out by giving you a prophetic word out of Psalms 133. As the psalmist laid this out to that which was going to come, which I believe we're in the midst of that. And it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren," yours may say believers, "to dwell together in unity. It's like precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments." Now, before going further, we need to realize in the Old Covenant, which was setting a type and shadow, there were high priests and there was prophets. When Jesus came on the scene, he became our high priest, and we all became priests. So when the brethren or the believers dwell together in this atmosphere, there's something significant. That's why you'll never hear us criticize other denominations or churches if Jesus Christ is their Lord. We're on the same team. And they're beginning to see this, and we're coming together, and we're seeing breakthroughs. But it goes on. It's like a dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Zion type and shadow of the church. In other words, a refreshing is going to come to the church when the brethren dwell together. It says, "For there, in this atmosphere, the Lord commands the blessing." I mean, we love the blessings of the Lord, but when things line up and when the body of Christ comes together and we do not use each other as a divisive element, but we realize we only have one head, Jesus, the Lord smiles and thinks, "Wow, I'm about ready to have to command a blessing upon this nation, upon his people." Because his purpose is that no one perish. But what we've been doing throughout the years, especially in America, we've become religionized, where our enemy is not the devil and the flesh, but it becomes other churches that are Christian churches. And we make our differences separate us. I'm telling you, there's coming a shaking. God is bringing his church together, that whether you come to First Church on the left, on the right, if you were raised Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, my wife, I thank God for her Catholic upbringing that learned the principles of Christendom. I thank God for the parents that challenged me, and I didn't have an option to be in church every Sunday when I hated it. Being truthful. But thank God, the seeds. Train your children up in the way they should go, and when they get old, they'll not depart. Thank God. Amen. That through all that straying time in my life, there was a princess that was taught the principles through her family upbringing so that we could be brought together. And one good thing about her parents and mine, never said that was a problem with her being raised Catholic, me being raised Protestant. In fact, our theme song to march down the aisle when my bride came down, I don't know how many can remember back the 1968 version of Romeo and Juliet. And you had the two types of families that were fighting. Ours weren't fighting, but my wife came down to the theme song of Romeo and Juliet. "A rose will bloom it." My wife would sing it, and "I won't punish you this morning." So again, it's very key, parents, as you train up your kids, don't alienate them against other Christians, even though they may do things a little bit different, because the only one that frees us is Jesus.
That's right.
And he's given us all the same Holy Ghost. Amen. And we get the Holy Ghost when we make Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're on the same team, and we're seeing more and more of that. Now, back in the Old Covenant, if we'd go back all the way to Genesis, we would see how important oneness is. Remember when there was opposition to the things of God? The people of the earth says, you know what? We're going to build a tower in Babel here, and we're all going to be in agreement to make this thing reach the heavens. And the Lord saw how significant, how he created earth, that if they came into agreement, things could happen even bad. So, of course, we know the languages were changed and people were positioned in other places. But he had made a statement. Because they're in unity and the power of agreement, anything could be possible. And the Lord was setting things into place. If that's the case, we understand now when Jesus on the scene in the transitional scriptures of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what did Jesus say when they tried to accuse him to be of the devil? He said, a house, a city, a kingdom divided among itself will be brought to destruction. He was emphasizing to those Christians that were going to soon receive the Lord as he'd go to the cross that there is going to be an element that the enemy is going to purpose to divide and conquer. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Lord let it be known. You don't want to enter into that. Because the other way I tweak that scripture, if a kingdom divided can't stand, I like to say a kingdom united can't fall. Amen. And if our emphasis is to unite the kingdom on earth so it doesn't fall, and I see that happening. In all the years we've been a church trying to get pastors to connect and praying for our city, we're seeing now. We even had the bishop in the area come and says, I wish I could get all the priests. I wish I could get them to come and have prayer like this, but I can't control them like that. We said, well, you're here. And he prayed for the church. And then we've got Lutheran pastors coming, and we've had Baptist pastors and Methodist pastors and Pentecostal pastors. And instead of using that as a tool, well, you got cooties. We're coming together and praying for our city. Even to the point now, the city police said, you know what? There's such a divisive element between the faith community and our community over here off Genesee, if you know where the city police is at. We've been praying for years that God would unite. We pray for the government. The Bible says, first of all, let prayer and supplication be made to all, but especially those in authority. We get asked by the lieutenant, is there any chance that you would bring your monthly prayer warriors to our city? We'll give you the upper room. Once a month now, pastors from all different backgrounds come together for an hour. What are we doing? We're praying that God shows up in our city, that God protects our law officers, that God would... And it's amazing what's happening. Amen. And for some of you that have been tracking the record, because I have been the last 2 years, crime is down in these areas where the churches come together 200% in one area, another 80%. People are crossing over. I've had pastors get a hold of me and says, I want to get out of my box. I don't want to be in this anymore. I have ministered to... East Side, predominantly African-American congregations that embrace the message of coming together, and they want out of their box. And why they want out of their box? Because the freedom that the Lord gives you to not criticize someone else to be free, but to live your freedom, and people want what you got. Amen. Pastor Michael, no, many times I come up, how come this guy's happy all the time? Why is this guy high? Because I am not holding aught against anybody. If you're a Christian, you're on my team.
Yes, sir.
You just may not realize it yet. But God does, because nowhere have I ever found in the scriptures that he made this separation. Well, you're going to be called the first church on the left. And unless you're of that church, you just aren't going to be as special. No. One body, one church. And Jesus knew that. One prayer yet to be answered out of John 17. Jesus said this. He's talking to his Father. He's thanking him for all those. And you can read through John 17. It's all about bringing the body together. And he goes on, he says, Father, I'm praying for those that you've entrusted, not only for these that are here now, but those that will come later with these sharing the gospel. He says, I am praying that they will be one. Everybody say one. As Father God and Jesus are, that they would be one. Do you know, can you imagine how powerful the body of Christ would be if we saw each other not as enemies, but we saw each other as Christians that love God? Yeah, we might worship a little bit different. Yeah, we might baptize a little bit different, but we all love Jesus Christ. He's our Lord, and we're after him to set people free. That is the qualifier. So we look at, before we get into the New Testament with a better covenant, we see how Jesus said this in John 13, a new commandment, you guys, I'm giving you. By this, the Bible says, and what is the commandment? Love the body of Christ. He didn't say, just love the Shield of Faith folks. or the second church on the left, folks. He said, love the body of Christ. And he says, and by this love, they're going to know you're mine. Our way to reach the world isn't telling them all our differences. The way we reach the world is they see us in love with each other. So last week when I'm breaking down up here crying, because not only Glenda has come, which she identifies you all as her family, but you all surrounded her and came to the altar. I mean, I'm getting broke up just thinking the love of a body that doesn't, well, I wonder what your background was, or I wonder what you came out of. It doesn't matter. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, we're on the same team. And so it's happening, and those that want to hang on to, I've got it, I've got all the truths, and nobody else is going to get my truth, you can stay in bondage all you want. But I'm telling you, when the ghost of God, called the Holy Spirit, frees you, you're free indeed. Yes. And some of you realize that because you can go wherever you want, run into people, whether they're from the past or whatever, and you can still love them. Yes. We never talked to my mother-in-law, so, oh, you just shouldn't be Catholic. No, we just love her. She sees excitement. She's grateful that her daughter married somebody that loves God and vice versa. Amen. And that's how it needs to be, church. Amen. Beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. Familiar scripture with you, 2 Corinthians. Are you all seeing unity and oneness? We're not saying uniformity. We're not going to all adapt to whatever the world's doing out there, but we're going to stay as students of the Word of God. We're studying to show ourselves approved. Bible says this. I want to bring this. We're now in the New Testament. We know Paul is on the scene. He's a follower of Christ. We know how God drastically changed his mentality. He thought you had to think the way he did, and he was having Christians put to death. That's how serious it is. We may not be doing it to that extreme, but we can. Because out of our tongue, life and death, we can curse or we can bless other believers. Or we can make that initial separation. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord's commanded blessing. That's right. Yep. Saginaw used to be called Saginasty. It's the name isn't that way anymore. And you know what? It is changing as we speak. We're seeing more and more coming to see that Jesus is our key factor. You know what he said? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creature. Now, we know that we still got some nature that we got to deal with, get it renewed. But immediately in 18, he says, and all you believers, the Lord says, I've given you a ministry. Oh, I thought you had to jump through a bunch of hoops and go to Bible school for 2 or 3 years. And then, no, to every believer, you're a new creature. He says, I give you a ministry, 5:18, of reconciling the world to me. Right. Our mission on earth is get people to Jesus. Not to get them to me. Not to get them to you. Not to get them to the third most powerful person we think. I'm telling you. If you're saved, you're as powerful as anybody else. Oh, Pastor, but they've got such a powerful. No, they may be activated and they may have developed in the fruit and so forth, but they don't have a big, powerful Holy Ghost and you got some baby. We got the same one inside us. Amen. It's called, he brought the kingdom with him. And the more we develop that kingdom within us, the more we act as if we believe that. Yeah. And we look to set our family and friends free, not to preach to them, to live it. I think Jesus said we're to be a living what? Epistle. We're to live this. People should want what we have because they see the joy and the love we have for you and others. Amen? So, power of one. That's what we're after in Jesus' name because we want the commanded blessing. So he says this, and then in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, we then, and he's talking to those that got saved, we are workers together. Everybody say together. Good. With him, capital H, meaning with who? God. Jesus. Okay, well, you can say God, he's God. And plead with you not to receive this unmerited faith called grace of God in vain. My gosh, you got it because you got saved. We're workers together. Don't do it in vain. Let it be some fruits to it. The challenge by Paul, who was corrupt before he was saved, was trying to encourage believers. Don't just settle. There's so much more out there. Good word. And so he goes on, he says this. We are giving no offense in anything. that our ministry, that's your ministry. That's our ministry. Our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things, we are commending ourselves as what? Ministers of God. You need to look in the mirror and say, I've awakened. I'm a minister of God. I'm going to go be a blessing someplace. I'm going to smile at somebody. I'm going to look to somebody in need. I'm going to be a blessing. We talked about kindness. We talked about goodness. We talked about all the fruit that we all got when we got saved. We have to work on developing it. Next week, I want to talk about this. We all got this self-discipline or long-suffering. And we got some of these dimensions that sometimes we think, oh, I just wasn't gifted with that. I just can't resist. I just fall into that. No, if you're falling into it, you got to develop that area because the same Holy Ghost in me is in you. Amen? Can you see how this would be? You wouldn't be lifting up any men or women anymore. You'd be lifting up Jesus. I think that's what he wants. If you lift up me, I will draw all men unto me. It's his mission that he gave us the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost puts us in remembrance what Jesus said. And Jesus says if he be lifted up, we would all be drawn to him. That's why we're expecting a commanded blessing. Because when the brethren dwell together in unity, it's in that atmosphere. Romans chapter 12, go back a chapter if you're in. And you know my challenge many times is we like 12, 1 and 2, which is great verses, presenting our body as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. But I want to pick up again at 3. And this is Paul to the Christians in Rome. But I say this through the grace, he understood that unmerited favor, given to me, to everyone, that includes us, who is among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us that same measure of faith, that same element. Now, if people aren't developing that same measure, they may not look as developed, but they have the same potential as anybody else. Verse 4, for as we have many members in this one body, no, only members if they go to Shield of Faith. It didn't say that. It says, we all members do not have the same function, but we have many members in one body. Say one body.
One body.
We're talking about the power of agreement, the power of one. We're talking about when Jesus says, if any two will agree is touching anything, you can have it. There is something significant of how God set this up that we could be a very powerful bunch of people. But the enemy got us religionized. We got to get people jumping through hoops. And if they jump through enough hoops, we'll put a little anointing on them. I hate to tell you, our anointing doesn't come from man.
That's right.
Our anointing comes from Jesus. And we're anointed with the Holy Ghost because he didn't leave his anointing when he came to make his home in us.
Right.
Powerful God. And God is good. Amen. So, for as we are many, verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ. Individual members of one another. We are part of each other. That's why it's significant that we realize that other Christians, even if they worship a little bit different, they're not our enemy. Now, the principalities and powers of darkness are that use human beings. So that's why Jesus says, I leave you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Just like he prayed that his kingdom would come on earth as it's already going on where? So we got the authority to bind the enemy, and the enemy is principalities and powers of darkness, and we have to discipline our flesh. That's the other enemy. We bind the enemy. You don't bind the flesh. You discipline the flesh.
Amen.
You surely don't discipline the powers of darkness. Now, they may get disciplined because the Lord stands over his word. He may slap the demons and devils out, but the essence of it, church, can you see how powerful we are in one? Can you see how significant we are? This nation that we're in, there's so much divide out there. If we just remember who you are in Christ and that greater is the force of God in us than all those forces that oppose us.
Yes,
it's not by accident all of a sudden babies are no longer thought of as just fetal tissue. they're now things, and you see heartbeat measures and all these things. They didn't just happen. There's been a praying church, praying for others, not necessarily for themselves, praying that these other innocent lives would be protected. It doesn't just happen. It's because the church takes authority, and it's coming around. Thank God that he never quits and never stops. And he doesn't get confused on anything. He knows what he did and how he created us. He is not dealing with what gender. He knows how he created us. He makes no accidents in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, and this was a pompous challenge by Paul. You can read through the whole chapter 12. He says, hey, you guys, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. You guys think because you're all the eyes that you don't have need of the ears and the noses and the other parts. And he corrects them and says, hey, you have need of all the parts of the body. Now, how many bodies do we have?
One.
How many members in it do we have? Multitudes. We need the whole body. That's why he says, Paul, through the Holy Ghost, we have the mind of Christ. No one person has all the keys, because if they did, they would get just what's happened in religion. They would get puffed up. They think they've arrived, and they'd want everybody to know how I got all the answers. I'm telling you, the one that has the answers is Jesus. And the Holy Ghost will hook us up, but we need what you have, and you need what we have, because we need each other. Amen? So this message, I believe, sometimes they say, oh, Pastor, we need this all over the place. You think God is short? You don't think he's already doing it all over the place? I don't know how many times I'll come up, and my wife or somebody will say, do you know that they ministered? I'm not watching certain things, but did you know they're ministering that same message here or there? Well, doesn't surprise me. The Holy Ghost is not limited. And when he wants to get a truth out there, he's gonna stretch us so that we bring forth that which will bring truth and set the captives free. Amen? So if you don't think your part's important and you say, well, I don't know if I want to go to church, I'm tired, or I stayed up all night. You need to stir yourself and realize those that are planted in the house of the Lord are going to flourish as they get older. That's not my promise. That's the psalmist in Psalms 92:13. Those that are planted are going to flourish, which means, the other side of that, if you're not choosing to get planted, you have no promise that you're going to flourish. And then when Hebrews says, whatever you do, brethren, encourage one another not to forsake getting together, for which will be the state as the time gets near. There is such an exodus out of church life, and I understand people have been hurt and beat up in church. You got to realize it's not Jesus' fault. It's man that wants you to depend on them or woman instead of depending on the one that saved us, who went to the cross and then gave us, wow, the Holy Ghost. Everywhere we go, he goes with us. He never leaves us. Doesn't matter how hard it seems that we're going through something. Glenda, he hasn't left you, right? Amen. So your husband went to be with. Can you imagine to a believer? I was thinking when my mom, we all gathered around her bed and we sang Sunday school stories she used to have when we'd be in the car. And she was shedding a little tear. Boop, she went on to be with the Lord. I know that people think I'm hard. Oh, didn't you just weep? No. I was so excited to get my mom to heaven, because she was dealing with some real tough challenges. Now, my dad still wants to get there. He's 98, and he says, I don't know why. I've done everything. I know what. I said, Dad, just relax. Eternity is forever. It's forever. You're going to have to put up with the body of Christ forever, so you might as well learn to get along with them down here. You're going to be surprised how many Baptists and Lutherans and Catholics are there with us. You thought, oh, it's only going to be those Pentecostals. I'm telling you what, the ones that I've had the hardest time with are the Pentecostals, because sometimes they think they've arrived. You know, and I can pray in tongues, and I got all the gifts. Great, but that doesn't make you a more powerful Holy Ghost. It just makes you one of the team, one that we need, but you're not the only one. We all got parts to play, and even the parts we deem uncomely, the Bible says yes. Hebrews chapter 12, wrapping down this morning. Thank you for your patience. Hebrews chapter 12. Here's a healthy challenge to all of you, because you know what's happening in our earth, and especially in America. And this is the promise, the prophetic word that was given to believers. Hebrews 12, and I'm looking at verse 26. Mine says, a voice from heaven. The voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Here's a promise. When we see a promise, it's a promise. Promises. I say, yet once more I am going to shake not only the earth, but heaven. Yet once more indicates the removal of the things that are being shaken as of the things that were made, that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. This is what my kingdom dynamic says. It says, this shaking is the shaking of man's works. Man's works always comes in there and tries to help God out. He doesn't need our help. We just need to encourage people to focus on him. He's the Savior. But I'm telling you, where man, and I'm telling you, America's just as guilty, when we have put all our faith and trust in finances, in who's in public office, in who is got the most stirring, makes us have goosebumps when we listen, if we put that in our particular denominational structure, which could be shield of faith, if we think we've arrived, that's not how it works. What's going to shake is every man-made idea that replaces God-made ideas, and that's what we're after, church. So when we come together, and some of you as visitors, I say, God bless you. If you're growing and you're being nurtured where you're at, go after it. Be used powerfully wherever you go to church. But stay faithful. Stay connected. Yes. Some of you seniors that graduated and you're off to college, we pray that God will keep you focused and you will run into good influences when you get to college if that's what you choose to do. And that's important because God stands over his word ready to perform it. Amen? So knowing that shaking is coming, I want to leave you with a thought that many of you from Shield of Faith know I've shared this. But in Psalms 1 and in other areas, we are referred to as trees. Amen? We're like living trees. In Ezekiel 47, it talks about how God's going to take men and women of God to the rivers where there's many trees, many people. Sometimes we're referred to as fish. That's why he made us fishers of men. So all these things are laid down. I studied one time and I researched, if we're powerful with the Holy Ghost inside us, wouldn't you consider that God made us about the most powerful trees possible? Yes, human beings. Do you know there's always a parallel from the natural to the spiritual? So I thought to myself, what is the most powerful, strongest trees? And we know it's the redwoods or the sequoias. They're 350 feet tall. Now listen, because there's no accidents how God does this. Their root system only goes 6 feet deep. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. Every time we get a little bit of a windstorm, you'll see big trees, not that size by any means, and they'll be blown over, and you'll see this big clump of what? Roots. And they go all over the place. Why in the world do they not blow over with all the winds they get on the West Coast if they're 350 feet tall and their roots only go 6 foot deep? The answer is because they spread out 100 feet in each direction and they intertwine their roots with those other sequoia trees and together they stand. Amen. God has called us to intertwine our lives with other believers, and when the winds of life come, when the hail comes and the rain comes, we are not going to fall because it's not just based on my strength, it's based on a body that I'm surrounded with and I've got roots in, and you're helping hold us up. So when somebody loses a husband, we are helping hold up Glenda's hand. You're not alone.
That's right.
That's why we emphasize. And I was telling God, don't stay home. My gosh, this is your lifeline. We're on team together. And yet the mind, I don't need that. You do need others. And the sooner you realize, the stronger you become. Because in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. So I'm going to encourage you all to love on one another as you go get whatever toppings you want on your ice cream. So my challenge is to everybody watching on Facebook and all of us here, The only factor that you need to keep in mind is make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And if you haven't, you need to invite him. It's not jumping through a bunch of hoops and getting good enough for God. He takes you just like you are. Surrender your life. I need you, Jesus. I surrender my life to you. I believe you died for me. I know you on the cross forgave me of all my sins. And I want to live for you. And if you made that commitment and you're viewing us, and we're getting more and more all the time, get connected to a local church and start growing up. You got all the seeds already. Now we got to see them develop. And you become the mighty man and the mighty woman of God. And we all said, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, church. We're embarking upon the mission field. It's not in this building. It's when we leave here. So you need to greet one another, love on one another. Father, we leave today encouraged to be with our brothers and sisters. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless each and every life all day. You're going to keep filling them up with all that you have in store for today. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. If you need special prayer, altars are open.